Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I want to bring to you a lesson that, well, possibly you've heard it before, but you don't hear it very often. And that's talking about brevity as an evidence of the inspiration of the Scriptures. Now, the study of Christian evidences is an investigation of those things that show the Bible is not just an ordinary book. It's not a book that men would write. It's a book that is composed by God. It is the Word of God. And those who believe this claim, we have good reason for that faith. And we're not expected by the Lord to just blindly accept whatever somebody might tell us. There is evidence to show that the Scripture is inspired, friend, and we should be acquainted with those evidences. Such knowledge is reassuring and comforting to us, and in our society, there's an ever-growing number of people who wish to discredit the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. We're prepared for the Bible, or the battle for the Bible, however, with every weapon at our disposal. Now, what we're proposing in this lesson is that one of the evidences that the Bible came from God and is not from the minds of men is the brevity of it, the style and the conciseness of the Bible. Now, when we talk about the brevity of the Bible, we're aware that it is a large book, and it is composed of 66 books, but we're talking about the brevity of the things of which the Bible speaks. A thoughtful student of the Bible is soon impressed with the briefness of the various books that make up the Bible. For example, you consider the book of Genesis. It's only 50 chapters. It covers about 46 pages in my Bible, and it covers the origin of the universe and all that is in it, the human history for approximately 2,500 years. All of this is reported in less space than it is used each month in the issue of the Reader's Digest. Obviously, the writers were restricted in what they said and in how much they revealed. It's not like man to cover such great spans of time so rapidly. The first 34 verses tell us of the entire creation story, not only of man's world, but of the entire universe. The vegetable and animal kingdoms are included, as well as the creation of humanity. Only 4 verses are used to tell us of God's creation of man and how man is in the image of God, how he is a living soul, and man's relationship to all the material and animal world, and how much has man written, talking about the verses of the creation that God has made, volume upon volume upon volume. Men have written extensively, but God's book is very brief concerning those things. In the opening verse of the Bible, for instance, it is a very compacted verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The only 10 words, the length of an abbreviated telegram. It includes all the major elements of our world. In the beginning, there's time. God, the origin of energy and power. Created, the actual expenditure of that energy. Heaven, the air, the space, the heavenly bodies, and all therein are the material substance. And the earth, our material world in this planet, the matter of our globe. Time, space, matter, energy, they're all included in the opening verse. And when you compare the amount of space given in the Bible to this momentous event with a daily newspaper, you're impressed with the brevity of the report. The writer of Genesis used less than 1 column of newsprint to tell the entire story of the creation. And this is not like the report of total human origin for such an event. In fact, men, as I have said, turned out so many volumes discussing these few verses of the Bible that give us this information. But brevity is a characteristic of the New Testament as well as the Old. Matthew only has 28 chapters, using 34 pages. Mark had 16 chapters and 22 pages, and Luke with 24 chapters and 36 pages. John has 21 chapters and only 27 pages. Well, what does that mean? Well, altogether, over 119 pages, and much of it is repetitious, each telling the world's most remarkable story. And that's about the Messiah who came to redeem mankind. Friend, if uninspired men had been reported, surely volumes would have been written. Have not men continued to add books upon books, even dealing with the brief accounts of these four writers? Men write extensively. They write long volumes. But God's book is rather brief, even in the most important things. The history of the early church. It's told in only 28 chapters and 35 pages in the book of Acts. Over 30 years of this remarkable institution are covered. It was written with restraint and with brevity, unique in the writings available for man to read. Now, it's not characteristic of man to write that way, but it reflects a divine guidance. It reflects the divine inspiration of the Bible. But, friend, not only are the Bible books brief, but the records of man's incidents are also abbreviated. And yet they're so profound and overflowing with riches that none can fathom their depth. The fall of man is recorded in only 24 verses. What a profound effect it has had on all of mankind. And in these verses we read of the origin of sin in the world and the results that followed. Here we find the basis for man's need of a Savior. Matthew used only 17 lines, and Mark used only 9, to record the baptism of Jesus, the appearance of the dove, and that all-important testimony from the mouth of God concerning the authority and the identity of Jesus when he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We cannot exaggerate the greatness of that particular event and of that confession. And yet, it is very briefly recorded in the Bible. God was very brief in recording it for us. Men have written volumes concerning it. Men write extensively. God writes briefly. In about 25 lines and 8 verses, there's the record of the transfiguration of Jesus as given in Matthew chapter 17. And here we are taught, as were the apostles who were present, the superiority of Christ and the superiority of his law over all else, including the law that had been given through Moses and under the great prophet Elijah, which he served. The appearance of these Old Testament characters provides evidence that it is life after this life. And for the second time, the voice of God is recorded to acknowledge Jesus as his Son. And here, the authority of Christ is emphasized when he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Well, actually, these lines are only half lines, covering only half of the page in only one or two columns. Yet there is no revelation that's more significant than this, unless it be the resurrection of Christ. Matthew mentioned but 2 appearances of Jesus after the resurrection. Mark mentions 4, as does Luke, and John mentions 4. But to get the entire list of the appearances of after Christ arose, we read from all 4 of these writers, as well as from the epistles. Surely this shows the power of restraint exercised upon those whose pens wrote down these inspired accounts. One of the great testimonies of humanity is seen in the man Saul of Tarsus. Once he was an enemy of Christ. Yet this is told in only 2 verses in the book of Acts. Only 2 verses are used to describe the dramatic moment when he first preached the very Christ that he once persecuted. And a matter of extreme importance in the early church was the martyrdom of James at the hand of Herod. He was the first martyr among the Christians, as far as the inspired record gives us. We wonder how he died and what charges were placed against him. What was the effect of that on the church? Yet all of this that human curiosity would report, That's omitted. The inspired writers use only 11 words to tell about it. That's not the way men would write, but that's the way God has reported. Yes, the things that are not said in the Scripture point to divine inspiration. Read the book of John. John was a very close associate of Jesus, wasn't he? He doubtless knew as much about him as any other. Yet John omitted some matters that most would have certainly considered significant, such as the birth of his forerunner, John the Baptist. He did not even record the birth of Jesus. He omitted the genealogy and the youth of Jesus, his baptism, his temptation, his transfiguration, his ascension. Well, and an important omission is seen in the small number of days of Jesus' life that are actually mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, Jesus lived approximately 12,000 days upon the earth, and only 120 of them are recorded, and that's all we have about his earthly ministry. But John mentions events only 21 of those days. In all four of the first books of the New Testament, only 34 days are included. Yet who can fathom the wealth of information related therein? Almost one-third of John's book is concerned with one day. No wonder John wrote, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John 20:30-31. And John also wrote, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, of which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. John 21:25. The brevity of the report of the most remarkable things that was designed to produce the faith that we must have to be saved. That, friend, is an evidence that the source of the Bible was not man. It was from the divine mind. Acts gives us a partial report of the work of such notables as Peter and Paul. In reality, the book of Acts is some of the acts of some of the apostles. Yet there's sufficient abounds for us to know about the truth of the church and also to tell us how that we would be saved in the new plan of God. Yet sufficiency abounds for us to know the church, the plan of salvation, the use of miracles, the spread of the kingdom, and many other matters. We know nothing about the facts that men would consider so important, but the Bible tells us that which we need to know. The Scriptures do not even give us a personal appearance of the report of Jesus. It's amazing that scientists have come up with the idea that they know the appearance of Jesus. Friend, the only thing we know about Jesus at all is found in Scripture, and if it's not found in Scripture, it's not found. The absence of many details that men would want to talk about, they're not characteristic of the writings of the Bible. They're characteristic of the writing of man, but not that which God has produced. The conclusion is inevitable. The men did not write or compose the Bible. The Bible is the book that God is the author, and men were the writers as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.